No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today we got the one and only Royalty on the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really happy to be here.
Are you?
Yeah, this is like a big opportunity for me, you know, to get out the streets.
Hey, I like that. So for the record, Mark from Soft White Underbelly.
Right. That's the homie right there.
That is the homie. Mm-hmm. I never really thought of him as a homie, but yeah, I guess he's a homie.
He's a really cool dude.
Okay. Yes, he is. He sent me Sharp, who was like a pimp previously. We did a podcast with him. 500,000 views. People loved it.
Right.
You're our second Soft White Underbelly alumni.
So.
Right. Yeah. So for the people who haven't seen your interviews with him so far, let's just sort of start from the beginning. Where are you from exactly? And what was your childhood years like?
I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. I was adopted when I was like 5. My adopted parents, they were kind of like, they took care of me. Like I definitely wasn't like poor or anything, but they like lacked in the emotional, like in the emotional parenting part. It was lacking very hard.
And so. Were you the only kid or were you the only adopted kid in the house?
No, there was 3 of us. Okay. There was actually like 5 in total, but they veered off. It didn't work out.
That's kind of weird to me. Like, why would you adopt kids or a bunch of kids if you were going to not really be super involved?
Well, my mom, she couldn't have kids.
Right.
Like, so I guess she was like, oh, I'm going to have some. And plus they get a check.
Oh, okay.
They get that money, so.
They do.
They do.
I thought people had to pay a lot of money to adopt kids, no?
They get a check until you're 18 years old.
Oh, so did you ever get the vibe that might have been like why they were doing this?
I mean, my mom loved me. Okay. She loves me, yeah. But she just, I don't know. I guess it's like, I can understand. I wouldn't be able to connect with something that's like not, that didn't come out of me like that. Like, I love you, but it's kind of like, you know.
I think about that all the time because now I have my own 9-month-old. And, you know, I think adopting a kid is like probably one of the most noble things that you could do. I mean, you're literally like taking a kid who presumably anything could happen to them. Who knows? They have no certainty towards what their life is going to be like. And then you're taking on all that responsibility. I didn't even think about the fact that you could be getting paid for it. But I mean, I think it's an extremely noble thing to do. But then at the same time, I mean, my kid looks like me.
Right.
So I ain't adopting a kid, regardless of the fact that I think
my mom, she was like Asian.
Really?
She was like Asian with like 3 black kids. But her husband was black. And like, it's weird because in the system, you can't really like, they try not to like place them with families that aren't their same ethnic group. So they were like, oh, Asian mom, black dad, let's just give them some black kids, you know? Because we had like a white girl, but they took her away.
Do you know why?
Because they were like, oh, culture differences.
Did you think that there really were culture differences with
the
white kid?
No, I loved her. Her name was Brooklyn. She was like, I was really sad.
And aren't you just going to like, I mean, yeah, you are whatever race you are, but your culture, you don't really know what your culture is until you get your culture from who you're raised by and where you're raised, right?
I don't know, right? Right. That's what I think. The system is like really, it's really rigged.
Yeah, because I've seen like shit on Twitter too where people are like, oh, white people who adopt little black kids from Ethiopia and shit are fucked up because they just want to have a cute little black.
No, I'm like, they really have like the best lives because I had a foster mom. She was like white and she had like 10 cats, 1 big ass dog, and she was the best. Sometimes I wish I was adopted by her because she was lit.
I feel like, I feel like bringing race into the adoption thing. Mm-hmm. Like if you're adopting a kid, I'm sure there's bad people who do it, but to me, it's a pretty heroic thing to do. It's like you're doing something incredible for that kid. And like, yeah, if you're from a different fucking culture, like, okay, that might be sometimes inconvenient. Who gives a fuck?
I mean, I just feel like as long as you're like financially stable, because sometimes they give like, they put kids in homes with people who are like regular people who like still are struggling. So I'm like, why would you do that? Mm. I feel like they should be like, you know, above middle class, at least have their shit together.
Yeah. That makes sense. Okay, so lacking in emotional support at times, your upbringing, you would say?
Mm-hmm.
But not full-on abuse, or how would
I
you?
I mean, like, when I was 12, my dad used to, like, beat my ass.
In a way that wasn't lot, understandable at all. It was just totally...
Yeah, it was, like, really weird. It was, like, hella weird. But that just lasted for, like... He made me eat, like, peanut butter jelly sandwiches for, like, a year straight.
What, like, the fuck? As punishment?
Up. Yeah. Because I was, like, failing math. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes I worry about these people adopting kids because that's some weird-ass shit.
I wasn't right even failing math. I had, like, a C.
Right.
But it wasn't good enough.
Right.
He was, like, a Christian, like, really... big on that and like perfection. I'm freezing.
Are you
so
really?
I'm shivering.
We can, Riley, can we turn the AC down so it's not as cold? Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Or we can get you a hoodie too. I don't know if you're married to that top. I could just give you my jacket.
Can we do that?
You want my jacket?
Yeah, because I'm a little.
Wow,
and I
look
keep,
at this.
I keep shivering.
What a fucking gentleman I am here.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
No doubt. Probably the classiest thing I've ever done this podcast.
Thank you.
End of an era. Okay. So.
Oh, it's really warm. Okay, no more shivering.
Was there a certain point where you, you know, became aware that you were adopted and did it slowly start to like change how you thought? Like, do you remember up to a certain point you thought you were their kid?
I mean, I always knew that I was like, because I left my mom when I was about 2. Maybe 3. And I went to go live with, because my mom, she had me when she was 15. She was in foster care. And I went to the foster mother that raised her. I went to go live with her for a little bit. And then I just like kept going to homes. And I finally got adopted when I was like 7.
Mm.
So I was well aware.
Okay.
They changed my last name in kindergarten and everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, so fast forward to when you get a little bit older and you decided that you wanted to go off on your own. How did this happen? You had a boyfriend, right?
I had a boyfriend. Okay. Like how I started, like, hoeing or,
yeah, or
how
just,
I just started
just how things
wild.
Started to go out of control at home that eventually led up to you leaving, I guess.
I feel like... I kind of did it to myself a little bit. Like, when I think about it, I was, like, extremely rebellious against my mom. Like, it started off small. I just wanted to, like, smoke weed with my friends and go outside, and she would be like, no. And so I would just take it to another level, sneak out, you know, do little fuck shit. And I just started running away. And it just, like... it got longer and longer, like the periods of times that I would be gone to where it was like, all right, I'm just not going to come back.
Right. So when you look back at it now, what do you feel like you were running away from? Did you feel like you were escaping anything in particular? Can you also tell them to shut up in there?
I was just like really lost as a kid. Like, I was just really lost. It was, I don't know. I have no explanation. I was just like really feeling through the world. I was like, had not growing up with your real family can kind of like fuck up your mental. Mm. And it can kind of make you feel like, who am I, you know?
Mm.
So I was just out there trying to figure out who I was. And I kind of just like got ran through, like, just did fuck shit, got into drugs, you know.
Even that young? Or that was a later thing?
No, like, when I was, like, a teenager, I was just smoking weed and drinking. Mm. But after I started hoeing, like, when I was 18, I got addicted to crystal for, like, a year. I just got clean in, like, April.
Really? That's great to hear, because I was watching the interview where you were talking about that. And it was super sad, yeah.
Yeah, I just got clean in April.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
When you look back at it now, do you feel like you were just looking for somebody to love you wholeheartedly? Like, do you feel like that you always had that hole in your heart and you just never felt like someone really 100% was there for you?
Yeah. Yeah. That, and it was just like, I just really felt alone in the world. Like, it wasn't even like I was looking for anybody. It was like I accepted the fact that there was nobody out there for me. And it was just like, fuck everybody, fuck what you got to say, fuck how you feel. I do whatever the fuck I want, period. Right. You know?
So
that's just how I felt.
You and this guy that you were seeing or whatever, like, how do you end up leaving Kansas City? Where do you go? What happens?
Oh, well, I left Kansas City, like, because my adoptive parents, they got divorced.
Oh, and so you weren't hoeing there? That happened after you left?
No, I didn't start hoeing until I was 17.
Okay.
And so I was a normal kid all the way up until, like, 15. Then I met this guy. He was, like, 20 at the time. And I just started hanging out with him. He was, like, this Mexican, like, skater dude from San Diego. He used to watch your show all the time.
Oh, boy.
That's how I know about your show.
Oh, boy.
He used to watch your show all the time. And I was, like, hanging out with him for, like, 2 or 3 years, like, just living life, smoking weed, not doing shit. And then we broke up. Mm-hmm. And then I had nowhere to go. So it was like,
why'd you guys break up?
I broke his bong piece.
Oh, man. Sounds like a No Jumper fan.
Yeah, I broke his bong piece. And he was so upset, like, that morning. And we were perfectly good, like, before it happened. And he went in the bathroom. I broke his bong piece. He came out. I was like, I broke your bong piece. He's like, oh, you bitch, like, pay for my shit. I'm like, oh man, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm 17. I don't have any, like, and it's not like he, like, claimed me as his girlfriend, because it was, like, really weird. He was, like, fighting himself because he was, like, in his 20s and I was, like, a kid. And he was, like, he tried to, like, cover it up and say he's just helping me because I had, like, a troubled home.
Mm.
And that was, like, his, but that lasted for 2 years, so.
You think he was just kind of using that to sort of...
I mean, he was, like, fucking on me, so I would say that. Right. I mean, you know, if it was really a good Samaritan thing, then you didn't have to, you know,
but
take,
like,
it there.
Reminding a girl that she comes from a troubled past over and over as a way to sort of, like, have more control over her and have this little savior complex. I mean,
right. He would do that a lot, like, all the time. He'd be like, I'm here. And we was, like, it's not even like he helped me because we were poor as fuck. It was just, like, a distraction, better than going home, I guess, at the time.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then you guys break up, and what do you do?
I was walking, because this was in San Diego. I grew up in San Diego.
Okay.
I was walking, I caught the trolley, I went downtown, and, this like, old guy, he was like, oh, you're cute. Do you want to make some money? And I was like, no, like, I'm not a prostitute.
Had you ever even thought of it up to that point?
I did, but I tried to stay away from it because it took me a while to, like, up until that point to be like, okay, I need to do this because I have no other option. Now, I mean, like, I fell in love with my job and it, like, empowers me because I do it. There's levels to this shit, you know?
Right.
But at the time, I was like, no. Like, a prostitute, I just thought of it as, like, a crackhead that's, like, 40 with no teeth that, like, fucks for 40 and shit. You know, shit like that.
There really are levels to the shit.
I was like, no, that can't be me. That just can't be me. That was just that's the society's mindset of a prostitute, you know? And I was like, it's just not for me. But he was like, you know, I'll give you some money. And I was like, I have nowhere to go. Like, I literally had nowhere to go. So I did my first date. I think he gave me like $100. He gave me like a room for the night. It was like 5 minutes. It was quick. It was fast. I used a condom my first time and every other time after that. But I just hear, like, stories where girls are like, I didn't know what to do at first. And I'm like, bitch, how do you not know? Like, this is a stranger. Wrap that shit up.
Right.
And I did that. And the next day, I had, like, already spent the $100.
On what? Cheez-Its?
Shit like that.
Cheez-Its?
I was 17, so it was like, I think I bought, like, a fucking outfit and some food.
Right.
And I was like, well, shit, I need more.
Because you want to sleep in a hotel room the next night, too, right?
Right, right. Mm. And so I met this pregnant girl on the trolley, and she was like with these two guys, and she was a hoe. And she was like, "You be hoeing?" And I was like, "You know, I'm trying to get into it, you know." And she was like, "Okay, well, I could show you." So she took me to the track there in National City, uh-huh, in San Diego. I got down for the first time, and she showed me the ins and outs. She was like, "You know, don't date any black guys."
I can't believe the way you say that. Like, it's the most obvious fucking rule on earth.
It really is.
When
it
I heard really you say is. That a couple of times, like, I have a group chat that I'm in with three, four black men that I'm friends with, and I thought about texting them about that, and then I was like, I don't feel like explaining.
No, because they usually are like, "Oh, that's like, bitch, you're black, like, why not?" But it's like, I just don't want to do business with you. But I'm cool.
You said that they're just always on some tripping shit. Like, is it really like biracial lines like that? And do you think it's because you're black that they feel like they could kind of wild out on you more?
Yes, because I know a lot of white girls that are like, "Bitch, my biggest clientele is black guys." Mm. And I'm like, I can't relate. My biggest clientele is Mexicans and white men.
Right.
And Asian men. That's where it's at for me. Like, I just don't fuck with it. I just don't.
Right.
Simply put. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're just like, you know, who gives a fuck? This is a black bitch. She's like equivalent to my sister or some shit.
Goddamn.
So they don't really care.
That's wild.
But it doesn't really matter because I'm not dating you anyways. You know? Yeah,
I feel it.
But that's like a golden rule.
Wow.
It's like golden.
I feel like I really should not or cannot comment on this, but it's pretty interesting.
I mean, like, you know how black niggas be. You know they be on some fuck shit sometimes.
Well, I would say that, like, you know, in a lot of cities, maybe a lot of the gangbangers are going to be black dudes.
Right.
And so, like, I feel like maybe a lot of the gangbangers are the ones who might be the kind of ones you don't want to deal with as prostitutes. So I guess I could see it from
that
perspective.
And you'd be surprised. Like, the youngest guys be picking up pussy. Like, it's crazy.
Really?
Like, 18-year-olds have pulled up to me, like, while I've been on the track. And they've been, like, wanting to date. And I've, like, when I first started, I would. Like the young Mexican ones, but now I don't. Now it's like 40 and up.
Right.
That's the only type.
Wow, the young dudes are fucking weird too.
Yeah, I mean, they're not real tricks. Like, they just want to like fuck on you, and they see you as like a thought box, like a thought box.
What's that?
You know.
What's a thought box in that situation?
Like just a thought, like just a bitch who like likes to fuck. Prostitutes aren't like big on getting fucked.
You want
to
get it over with.
Yeah. I'm here for my money.
Get like, your nut off and let's go.
You know. And then nine times, like in all cases, people like don't realize that. I know bitches that get paid just to talk.
Right.
You know.
But how often does that happen?
I mean, you got to find the right trick for that.
Because now when you're doing the more high-end stuff, I feel like that's probably a lot more likely, right?
Right. I mean, it all depends on your clientele. Like if you're working on Fig, then you're probably going to have to suck some dick.
I know
date.
I've been on Figueroa a lot, but I've never, I don't think I've been to the part where all this lit shit is going on at.
It's in the 60s. It's like in the 60s and the 70s. Mm-hmm. I'd be on 75th. I'd be right there. I mean, right now I've been like just trying to like work with my regulars and like play like the casinos and shit.
Right.
But I still fuck with Fig sometimes, you know, but it's just kind of like, I kind of graduated from it.
Right. Like when you were in San Diego,
it'll always be
working in that area or whatever. It's like the first one you described was kind of like he meets you, he gets you a hotel, he hangs out with you for a little while, and then you get to stay in the hotel. That sounds kind of nice. But then.
Oh, what? That was like amateur. I would never do that now. I mean, if I did, it would be like, yeah, you can give me the room.
Right.
But like,
I'm not going to be in your room.
Right. Right.
I feel it. But so, okay, then once you're working on a certain track or whatever, is it like, how many customers could you realistically have in a day? And is it taking place in their car for the most part?
I mean, I really try to like do it in their car.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you go to their room, you can like really break them and like get more money. Mm. But you could do that in the car too. Shit. I mean, ask about it.
Right.
That's all you got to do.
How do you get ask. How do you get more money out of them? You try to upselling them?
I mean, you ask. You just ask.
Yeah.
You'll never know if you don't ask.
This, you know? This shit has taught you a lot about the streets, huh?
Yeah.
How to manipulate people.
No, I wouldn't say manipulate. I mean, I'm a female. Mm-hmm. And I know men, and like, I know what you're here for, so you know why you're here.
But when you started, you were a little girl, realistically.
Right, yeah.
Although you did grow mm-hmm. fast, I suppose.
Yeah, I was definitely really, like, when I look back, I was, like, very little in my mindset. I was, like, still a child all the way, 100%. Right. I didn't have no business.
mm-hmm. So what kept you left San Diego at some point and came to LA, right?
Oh, yeah. I came to LA. I was still 17. And I had actually met this pimp. I met him in San Diego. He, like, I mean, he wasn't really a pimp, but he was like, I met a lot of these when I was younger. I would tell them that I was a hoe, and they would be like, I can help you. Just so they could, like, get my money, you know, but they weren't really pimps, you know.
What's a real pimp actually doing, though?
He makes you better, you know. Like, I have, like, say if the girl, when she meets the guy and she's, like, on drugs and shit, and he gets her clean and, like, you know, she's making money the right way and she's elevating in her life. You got to look past the fact that he's taking her money because he's, like, literally got her off drugs. He's managing her life. People, like, fail to realize that prostitutes suck at managing our lives. Like, we literally suck ass. It just doesn't work out. It doesn't work out.
What is the main things that makes it like that, though? I was watching a video of a stripper talking about how she was stripping, making so much money for all these years. And she's like, I didn't save any of it because mm-hmm. once you're in that lifestyle, you just burn through it.
Right. I mean, it's like, because we just see it as we're the product and the money's always going to be there. Like, why save it? I'll make money tomorrow.
Right.
And, you know, like, I guess pimps don't think like that. They're like, no, bitch, we need to save this because what if you don't make money tomorrow? Mm. Or what if some shit happens? Or, you know, and then you got to invest into shit. The point, like, you start on the streets is the sandbox. But the point is to elevate. You're not supposed to be a streetwalker forever.
Right, because that's got to be the most dangerous in terms of getting caught up. And then also
going to jail.
Yeah.
Almost getting murdered. Yeah, exactly. All types of shit. Yeah, getting raped.
There's no vetting process. There's no way to figure out who this guy is. Is this right. guy a serial killer? I don't know.
Yeah. Right. I'm just hopping in for this $100. Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, to me, and probably to a lot of people, it's a little shocking how smooth a process you make it sound. Like, it doesn't sound that traumatic. It doesn't sound like it was that much of a struggle for you to just do it.
It's really not. It's really not. If you, like, I mean, I totally understand why some girls are like, I'm cool with my 9-to-5. And I applaud them. But, I never had a 9-to-5. This was my first job.
Right.
So I'm used to it. It's what I do. It's what I love.
So, but you love it? Love is a strong word.
I love the lifestyle.
Right. But what parts of the lifestyle? Because, like, hanging out by a dirty-ass truck stop, fucking random-ass guys who have God knows what. I mean, I know that's not what you're doing now,
but I would say, you know, like, when you see a prostitute on the corner, you think, like, oh, it's just her there. 9 times out of 10, she has, like, wifeys, like, working with her. Mm-hmm. Like, and she has, like, folks, you know, and they're a family together. And they're out here in these streets together.
Right.
That's the lifestyle.
So it's not as isolated as we might think, or as dangerous as we might think?
Yeah. If you have, you know, folks in the family.
Right.
But if you're a renegade, I mean, it can be sad, but you'll get it together.
Right. Okay, so this pimp takes you to LA at some point?
Yeah, this guy, you know, he was, like, claiming to be the pimpin'. He said that he was going to show me, you know, whatever. And so I was like, okay, you know, I'm young, so I don't really know much. And he was like, it's all right, I got you, you know. So we came out here. I told him to take me to Hollywood Boulevard because I didn't know where to go. So I went to Hollywood Boulevard and I caught a date, actually. I caught like a couple dates on Hollywood Boulevard, just walking down the street, and they just pulled up. And yeah, but I was working Hollywood Boulevard when I first got here. And then I left him because he like did some weird shit. And I met somebody else and he was like, he took me to Fig. And then I discovered Fig.
What's it like working on like a non-primary outlet, like Hollywood Boulevard, where I assume there's some prostitutes,
well,
but not a ton?
Well, I do that now.
Okay.
I do that now. Now I work on like random streets, like sometimes, because it's just better that way. I don't know. It just is. Like there's
less
no
police presence.
Right. I mean, they're never going to guess that you're like a hooker.
Right. But then at the same time, you are walking by a ton of dudes who are not looking for a prostitute.
I mean, you just got to use your eyes. Mm. You know, like we catch
just a lot
dates.
Of eye contact,
yeah,
huh?
We catch dates with our eyes. It's about like in the game, people always say it's about the hook and not the look. Cause there's like ugly girls, like super, like you'd be like, bitch, stop playing. You know, you're not getting no money, but they really are, because something that they're doing to hook that trick in is making them really like them. I don't know. It's all a fantasy, you know?
It's a lot of personality, a lot of personal right. skills, basically.
Right. If you don't have a personality, you're not going to make any money.
Right. So then once you start, once you make your way to Fig, how many are you doing in a night? I guess is one of my big questions.
I don't have a specific answer.
10?
I mean, yeah, 10. If they're like at $100, you can make $1,000. But if you like do good on those dates and you get maybe 200, maybe 140 here, 160 here, maybe right. you just use 7 condoms that night. I don't know. Or sometimes you could get the whole shit off one.
7 condoms? Depends. So you're acknowledging that you might not wear a condom half the time?
No. Oh. I wear condoms.
Okay.
Every single time.
Every single time? Because there are a ton of dudes that are just ripping that thing off.
Every single time.
Okay.
Blowjob, hand job, sex.
Hand job condoms.
Hand job condoms.
Wow. That's
because it's like, you know, I'm a professional. Mm. I'm not your girlfriend. I'm not your wife. Like, why would you come here expecting some bare shit? Mm. Like, mm-mm.
The whole thing, though, is that it's like you don't have any way to sort of figure out what kind of client you're dealing with. So the guys who want to fuck a girl right. and rip the condom off at the last second and give her HIV, put a baby in her, whatever kind of scandalous ass shit they might be dreaming up, you're just right. kind of at risk of it.
Yeah.
If they decide they want to beat your ass, it's yeah. just going to happen, right?
I mean, yeah, I've almost gotten killed before.
Yeah.
So I can relate to that. But I've never had anybody, like, rip it off.
Right.
I usually, like, hold the condom, like, with my own hands.
Oh, that's smart.
Like, they put it on, and I, like, hold it. I hold it down.
That's pretty cool.
They kind of get mad sometimes, but it's like, I got to make sure it's there, babe.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But so during all this, are you staying in hotels for the most part? Or
no, I have an apartment.
Oh, okay.
I have an apartment. I was staying in hotels like last year. I was like in rooms and shit, but I had to go to the next level. It's little levels at a time.
Right.
And plus it's easier to chop up like when you have an apartment because you don't have to pay room fees every day. You just gotta pay rent.
Yeah, the hotel fees are going to kill you. It's going to mm-hmm. totally fuck up
every
your bottom
day.
Line. Yeah.
Yeah. That shit can be hella depressing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I mean, you're giving up a large percentage of the money that you made off your gash that night by just getting spots.
It really sucks. It really sucks.
I believe it, dude. That used to be my least favorite thing when we'd be like on road trips and shit. It was just wasting so much money on hotels. I'm like, right. this ship should be free.
Or it really should.
Let me sleep on the ground
yeah,
somewhere.
It should be like $50 minimum. Because it's like you're giving me a bed and a shower. Like, come on now.
Right. Yeah, that's how I feel.
That's a basic human necessity.
Yeah. Just hook me up.
Right.
Pieces of shit. All right. So how do you start kind of elevating? Because it's like we see such different versions of you in your two Soft White Underbelly interviews, because you're like street walking in the first one, and then you're you're wearing your fucking Versace looking ass dress. I don't know if it was actually Versace, but it's like, you know,
it was from the Slauson, but it was still bomb.
Hey, Slauson Versace is still Versace. Fuck it. Yeah. But then you're giving off a very different vibe, and like you looked like way prettier. Your hair looks nice. I'm like, wow, she's like really presenting herself. She looks like one of the fly chicks that you see walking around in Vegas at the casinos.
Yeah, the first video, I was like, that was like my spiral. I was like still like heavy on the drugs. Yeah, those drugs, man, they like really had a hold of me for a second.
Oh yeah,
it was like super weird.
But did it make, like, what was selling pussy like when you're on crystal? Like, did it make it easier?
At first, like, my first time I did it, it was on my 18th birthday.
Oh, wow.
And I made 18,000. 1,800.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry.
I know. And I was like, what the fuck kind of night like, was that?
Yeah, like, Gucci was lit.
Well, you met a baller, huh?
No, I made 1,800. And I just stayed up all night. And I made it happen. And why I liked about it was, like, I was so happy. Mm. Like, I was so lit. Like, it was just so easy to do the job. I was still really young, and I still didn't know much about the game. Mm-hmm. So I didn't realize, like, bitch, just be yourself, and, you know, you'll make money like that. But I was, it kind of just, like, pushed my personality out.
Right.
And it was just easier for me to work. But then it started to get like, wasn't the same anymore. You know, I was getting skinny as fuck. Mm. Like, I lost hella weight.
You were already skinny as shit in that interview, but it probably just kept getting worse.
Yeah, I lost hella weight. Like, I really used to be really thickums, but.
Really?
You know, I'll get it back. It's all good.
Yeah, it's coming back. Hometown buffet.
Shortly. I mean, it takes time. You know, that shit, it makes me so mad because, like, it's harder to gain weight because, like, it, like, emaciates. You got to, like, gain muscle back.
Mm. How bad did it get addiction-wise?
Like, I was lying to my loved ones. I was, like, getting high on my dates and then going back, like, home around, like, my family and shit, like, high. But I wouldn't tell, like, my addiction, I was, like, trying to keep it as secret as possible.
Right.
Like, I would, like, sneak out, go to my next door neighbor's house, get high, and come back, act like nothing happened. Mm. And which, that made it, like, worse, because it was, like, I'm literally, like, trying to keep this inside, and I'm really high as fuck. So it was hard.
I always tell the story on here, but there was a girl that I dated back in the day for a few months, and then I realized at one point that she was fucking on meth the whole time.
Wow.
And I didn't know, because I was kind of like
crazy.
Just not aware.
It's terrible.
And then she got me to do it one night.
What?
So I fucking rode that dragon for a night or two, and that was pretty wild.
Rode that dragon.
I mean, I'm just trying to think of, you know, what to compare it to. It was insane. Yeah.
It's insane.
And I've done a ton of coke in my life. Other pills, Molly.
I wouldn't recommend it.
That's the devil right there.
It literally is.
That shit is gnarly. Because it lasts a long ass time.
For no fucking reason. Like, it's like.
And the come down I had from it was the worst.
Oh my God.
By far.
I'm killing everybody. Don't ask me shit.
I really thought I wanted my life to be over.
Don't ask me shit about nothing at all.
Yeah. So what had to happen for you to decide you finally wanted to get clean? And what was the process like?
Like, everybody around me was like, damn, bitch, like, you're spiraling bad. Mm. You lost weight. You're mad all the time. You're, like, literally not the same person anymore.
I mean, at least you had some people around to tell you.
Yeah, but it was, like, a really important person. Mm. Like, I don't care about people. I mean, I do care about people, but, like, just growing up the way that I did, it just made me not as, like, I don't know. I have a very select few of people that I, like, care about. Like, I really give a fuck about how they feel. Like, it's, like, one or two people in, like, this whole world. And it was one of the one or two people. And I was like, oh, shit, I need to get my shit together, you know?
Definitely.
Because they were like, you're not the same person. And I was like, I don't want to change.
But it's like, it's a lot easier to say you don't want to do it than to actually stop. How hard was that process?
I mean, it's like, it's, you really just, it's not that hard. You just have to literally be like, I'm not going to do it. Because there's been times where I was like in recovery and I would like go on a date and he would like be high as fuck and I would know he would be high. And I would still be like, you know, I'm not, I don't get high anymore. It's just like, I just didn't want to do it. You have to be tired of doing it.
Hmm.
You have to be like, I'm tired of getting high. I'm tired of running around in circles on this bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So, okay. How do you end up in Vegas and sort of, you know, is it just like you make more money? Oh. So then eventually you just decide that, you know, you can, you know, take a little bit more time to try to figure out different stuff instead of just doing the same streets that you had been doing?
I mean, I went to Vegas, the first time, like a couple months ago. It's just, I mean, it's part of like every hoe's like elevation. Every hoe goes to Vegas after she's, you know, after she knows how to like really chop up on the track. She goes to Vegas. She learns how to like use her mouthpiece more.
Mm-hmm.
Catching a date without being naked. Catching a date without being like somewhere where they're looking to go buy pussy.
Damn, so you were damn near naked when you were walking around Fig and shit?
Yeah, I mean, you never been on Fig? We be naked.
I've seen videos, and I used to live in Koreatown, and I would see, you know, I would see a van pull up and drop off like 8 black chicks.
I'm dead.
And they're damn near naked in my neighborhood. And my neighborhood was like, no, it was all Asian people and shit. And they would just drop off a van full of girls outside the 7-Eleven, and I would see it sometimes just like,
that like, was a real stable. Oh, he was not playing.
He had a van.
That's funny as fuck. Yeah, we be naked. Like, it didn't, I guess it didn't used to be like that, like back in the day, like
right.
The OG days. I guess the hoes, they used to be really classy, fur coats, you know, conservative. But it's like watered down. You know, there'd be like gangbangers who want to be pimps, and then they get girls, and then they make the girls like gangbanging hoes, and then they're just ratchet. And then, you know, like they didn't have no game. Like, game is really important in my game.
Right.
To have it, to make money. It's like super important. It goes past like, bitch, if you can suck dick, that's cool. But if you have game, that's way better. Like, it's way better.
Right.
And, you know, the gangbanging bitches and niggas, they didn't have no game, so they just put their bitches out butt-ass naked.
But not butt-naked, but, like, wearing dresses that are damn
like
near
naked.
No,
like, butt-ass
naked. But they do really naked, too.
No, like, G-strings.
Right.
I mean, you know, they're not, I mean, they have something on, but they're naked. And I guess it just spread through, like, not everybody does it.
Yeah, because I remember being in Argentina maybe, like, 6-7 years ago, and, there were naked chicks on the track out there, and we thought it was insane, and we had never heard of that in America. And
they
now
were naked? Or they were just,
yeah,
they're
like, G-strings?
Yeah, they were,
like, butt naked, pretty much.
Oh.
And we thought that was insane. And then when I think about that, I think that's kind of really got a lot more popular out here, huh?
Yeah, like, they look like strippers, like, you know?
How much shit are you dealing with from the police? Do they just see you and keep driving? Do they bother you every day? Or when you're doing that kind of stuff on the street? Yeah,
you'd be surprised. Like, if the cop likes the way that you look, and they're not biased, they're probably just gonna wave and smile at you and keep driving. But if they're vice, you know, they're gonna be mad. And
so the vice squad is a separate group of the police that are concerned with this crime?
Yeah, that's the only one that we need to worry about.
Is that all they do, or they just do? What else do they do?
No, the vice is like specifically for prostitutes.
Oh, okay.
Like, they're big mad. It's really for like the minors.
Oh, yeah.
The minors like fuck us up. They fuck the whole game up.
Really?
That's why I be feeling bad that I started as a minor, because they just fuck the whole game up.
But do you see like really young girls out there?
Yeah. Like, I met like a 14-year-old one time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. She went home like... Yeah.
That's terrible. That's so sad.
Yeah. I seen her again out there, and I was like, well, shit. I mean, I led you home. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's terrible. Just that young, man.
But that's what she wants. I mean, some like people, I know it's hard to like understand, but some little girls really want to go out there and sell pussy. I'm not lying. Like,
yeah, I'm some sure of they them want really to. Do. It's unfortunate there are so many consumers for it.
I know. I know.
But then again, I mean, you could kind of think that like some of these guys probably don't even think.
They know. They know. Because when I was young, I mean, I get this now. Like, I just feel like if you ask a girl how old she is, like while you're in the middle of a date, you're probably a pedophile.
Right.
Because why are you asking her how old she is while she's doing like a sexual act? You know, I'd be telling them that I'm 19 and they'll be like, you sure you're not like 16, 17? Mm. And when I wear no makeup, I make the most money.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I have like a really baby face.
That's interesting. Damn. So that's got to be like one of the biggest fetishes, huh?
Oh, yeah. Wow. I mean, you already know that shit.
I guess like, but you don't really know because.
I mean, it's like.
It's not like there's a child porn section on Pornhub, but I bet if there was, that it would be the most popular section, which really tells you all you need to know.
I mean, teen is like, you know, that's like the biggest. I mean, there's obviously no teen
the
porn.
Barely legal shit is so popular that, I mean, that tells you all you need to know.
Exactly. Yeah. They like that shit. I mean, I don't know what to say. Like, that's the only reason why there really is vice. Mm. To protect the little girls, but they be getting on us, and it's like we're adults and we're just out here trying to get a bag, you know.
So it's pretty unlikely. You don't consider it really much of a possibility that you could get arrested on a given night?
No, though. I mean, the last time I got arrested was like a couple months ago. I like got in the car with the chick, and he was about to give me the money, and then they pulled up. And I was like, oh, shit, well, I'm going to get out. I got out the car because one time I was on a date and they pulled up and I just got out the car and they let me go. But they were like, no, like, you need to put your hands behind your back. They searched his car. He had like a whole AK in there.
Oh, you cannot be picking up ass.
But they started speaking Spanish. They started speaking Spanish and they let him go.
They let him go with the AK?
With the AK.
Oh, my God.
The LAPD. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
But they picked you up.
Yeah, they took me to jail that night.
And then do you have to pay a ticket or deal with anything, or is it just...
No, they're literally petty as fuck. It's like a sign out. It's a automatic release. You wait. Like, you go in there. We had to wait. And they like to pick up like at least like 10 prostitutes so they can get a really good bus. So they can get they taxpayers' money.
All at once.
You know?
Scoop up a bunch of
right. money. Right. Get them.
I guess they got to do it because otherwise, if there were no arrests for prostitution in a certain area, then it's going to be like, you guys aren't doing your job. We see all these people here. You have to arrest some of them, even though obviously this problem is just never going to go away.
Right. That's yeah. They literally have to make arrests. Like, it's on their checkmark list. So we wait. We usually have to wait until like 12, 1 in the morning. And then they release us. Which is like so weird because it's like, if you guys really cared about the well-being of us, then why would you release us at 2 a.m.?
Where there's still plenty of money.
Where we're probably naked from being out on the trek.
Oh, so they pick you up and you're naked and they let you out and you're still basically naked. Right.
Yeah.
That is weird as a police officer to like let a naked person leave your police station, given that nudity is also not legal.
Right.
Let me ask you this. How did you end up on Soft White Underbelly, and how has your life changed since you got that level of notoriety?
I got on Soft White Underbelly I was referred to it because my story was like, you know, I mean, on his channel, it's like, you know, pretty depressing in a good way, though. But he's got like some crazy shit on there, you know, all of the gritty shit. And I guess mine was like, my story was like compatible with his channel. So I went on there. The first one, it didn't really do much, but the second one did. And then that's when I decided to start my OnlyFans, which is Royalty Supreme.
Okay. See? I didn't even know that was
yes.
coming.
Yes. Yeah. To start my OnlyFans, and I started my Instagram, which is 304, and I started my business, which is my online business, which is 304 too.
304 is your brand name?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what it means hoe.
What?
Upside down on the calculator?
Right, okay. There you go. Yeah, I knew it had to be something. I was going to say, is that like the text way of entering it? No, okay. Yeah, so like was that, I'm sure you had a lot of people reaching out to you, didn't know that you were in this line of work.
I really just got recognition from like people in my lifestyle.
Mm.
Like the girls, the pimps, they were all like, oh, you know, like she's a cool hoe, you know. But I didn't get much like notoriety from like regular people. I mean, I did for like the tricks that watch his show. Mm. You know, I got like some people on my OnlyFans from that and my Instagram. But yeah.
What are your dreams in terms of your life in general? Like, do you want to fully leave the shit behind? Like, if your OnlyFans were to take off and you were to make, mm-hmm. you know, even a couple $1,000 a month, would you just be like, fuck it, I'm not doing this shit anymore?
I mean, yeah, like, yeah, I'm definitely ready for the new chapter of my life. Like, I'm like, I've been home for 3 years now, and this shit, like, by the time a girl is 21 in this game, she's old.
Right.
Like, she's like ancient, damn near.
It takes a big toll on you.
It does.
Explain it does. That though. Like, what do you feel like? It's mostly mental.
I feel like I'm 30. Like, just like all the physical activity I've done, all of like the traumatic shit. Like, some of the shit that I've seen is like, I'm so used to it now. But to the normal person, I would definitely say like, prostitutes go through traumatic shit every day, like just weird shit that normal people don't see. And it's like we're desensitized to it, but that shit, it takes a toll on you after a while, you know, like just the street part. I'm ready to like elevate from that. You know, I'm always gonna remember where I came from. You know, I always gonna remember that I started off as a streetwalker.
But like a lot of girls probably think about the idea of a random guy putting their dick in them for money, and it's like the you know, it's like a horrible idea, like that just sounds traumatizing off rip. You don't seem like you really look down on it the way that a lot of people in society might.
I mean, that's how, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, like when I wasn't a prostitute, I had that same idea. So I don't even get mad when they be like that, because I'm like, you've never caught a date before, so I'm not even gonna like, you don't even know what it feels like to be like an ATM. You like literally look past that. Like, it's so weird. It's like you look past it. Your brain shuts down when you're on the actual date. It's like.
But is that a good thing? That the way that you make money, you basically have to completely desocialize?
I mean, no, you don't have to desocialize. Like, I don't know. It's just like, we just don't think about it that way. We don't think about like, oh, I'm like, I don't like, when I go on a date, I don't like see it as I'm like really fucking this guy. Like, right. I'm really getting it in with him. I'm like, no, I'm going on a date. I'm about to get this money, you know.
You never had a sexual experience you enjoyed from all this?
Yeah, like with someone who's not a trick.
Right, that, but have you
they have nothing to do with like my job,
but you never enjoyed it when you're sleeping with a guy for money. Does that never even enter your brain, really?
No. Mm-mm.
Do you still feel like you can enjoy sex with other guys?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do.
That's good, because I feel like that might go away at some point, or at least that's what I'd be worried about.
I do. Yeah, I mean, it's literally like, it's like going into the office. Like, it's literally like, it's two different things, having sex with like, you know, your man or whoever, and having sex with a client.
Right.
You're like, you know, doing your job. This shit's like, it's hard to explain, but
have you had a man?
It's not the same.
Have you had men in your life that were your man that were actually understanding about your job, or do they usually? I assume most of the guys you end up dating are probably also sort of involved in this line of work. as pimps or as
sure
people close to it, close to the game.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't be with no square. But I'm just gonna answer the first one. I'm gonna go into that one.
Right.
The times that I have been with like squares, it's just not meant to be. Like, they just see you as like, they kind of see it as a hustle too much. Mm. And it's like, we see our job as a hustle, but it really comes together with the lifestyle. Like, if you're making the money, but you don't have the lifestyle part, then it's kind of like, oh shit, my titty popped out. Sorry.
Censor, keep that in mind.
I'm sorry. If you don't have like two of them together, then it's kind of like, it's square. Now you're a square, like living somebody's lifestyle.
But okay, in terms of being a square, let's say that somebody offered you a job tomorrow and you could make, I'm trying to pick a good number, you could make $1,500 a week at this job. You'd rather be in the hustle, even if it was enough money that you could have have your own apartment, you could have your own little life, you could get a boyfriend, you could, you know, not be involved in all this bullshit. No,
I mean, it's only
they're because laughing with you, not at you. Don't, girls.
It's only because I mean, it depends. I mean, no, I just can't. But I'm what is so, it? You I'm love so
the hustle.
I love a hustle, man. Mm. I mean, it's not only that. It's just like people in the game, we think outside the box. We just do not have time for the norms, like at all. We don't do the norms. That 9-to-5 shit, you give me a paycheck, fuck that shit. Mm-mm. Mm. No, I need new money every day.
Right.
Type shit.
Yeah, I'm kind of even feeling like if you were killing an OnlyFans, the fact that you get paid once a month would still not really be.
I would still be like, I need to go make some money moves.
Right. Because, like, I know all girls who make a lot of money on OnlyFans and they'll still go strip for, like, it's way less. It's just in less, you. Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
You never thought about doing stripping or anything like that?
No, I have. Oh. I was in stripping classes, but I just, I got a little distracted. But I'm going to go back.
Right.
But I don't want to go to the strip club if I don't know how to dance. Because I noticed that the girls that make the most, they dance like they can actually dance on the pole, and they have a mouthpiece.
Yeah, there's always certain girls in the strip club that are like hotter than everyone else, more like able to do physically more stuff. I've seen girls doing crazy pull-ups and shit, and I'm like, oh, fuck, they're like really working out before they go to work, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, like, I went to one strip club one time in Atlanta, and I'm a female, but I'm pretty sure it's the same for men. And the girls around, they were, like, all twerking, and they had big booties, too. And I was like, okay, y'all look good. But there was, like, this skinny girl on the pole, and she was dancing and looking real beautiful. And all of the energy was gravitated towards her. Mm. And I don't know what it is, but it just works better if you know how to work that pole.
Yeah, that's fair. Do you think that prostitution should be legalized?
Of course, it needs to be. I mean, there's no fucking point. If you legalize it, you know, the girls, they could get tested. It should be like mandatory for them to get tested. We should have like laminated cards and shit saying that we're sex workers. They should have brothels.
Yeah.
Makes it way much safer.
Take the kids out of it.
Right.
Would be like one of the main benefits, right. I think. Take a lot of the violence and danger out of it.
Right.
Make tax money. You can tax the fucking prostitution money all of a sudden. That would be huge.
Yeah,
because like I've been to Amsterdam and it's like in the red light district, it's just all these little booths and like just girls just sitting there. They'll try to seduce you, try to talk to you a little bit. And then they got like a little bed in back. I didn't actually take part, but my friends told me all about it. They got a little bed in back.
Okay.
You go in there. There's a fucking camera in the corner. So if the guy starts beating the shit out of you, then there's security that'll rush in.
I love that.
I mean, it felt like about the best system that you could have designed for this, right, in terms of keeping the girl safe, mm-hmm, keeping the guy safe, too. I mean, the guy could get robbed, safe, but who knows?
Yeah. You know, right? That, too.
It makes it so that, yeah, you have a part of the city where this is going on, and some people might not want to go, mm-hmm, there, but you can just not go there. But it's not like,
right,
random parts of the city just becoming crazy as, mm-hmm, you know.
Right. It's like, that's why I really don't understand. That's why I feel like them having prostitution illegal is like for like a bigger like reason, like egotistical, mm, from the government. I don't fucking know, but it's like if you wanted the kids out of it, just legalize it.
Yeah.
Like be like, you know, it's that simple. Cause then it wouldn't be on the streets, and then the little girls can't go to the streets and try to make some money real quick.
Mm.
They gotta go to the brothel.
And fill out a form,
right,
and
fill it out.
It is, yeah, weird though too, because then there's still gonna be people who want to pay kids to have sex with them. So it's like, where does that go? I don't know.
I mean, that's just fucking humans for you. I, yeah, don't know what you want. I don't know, yeah, shit.
You're never gonna be able to take care of the problem 100% in terms of like the bad sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
But at least it would be a big step in the right direction, you know?
Right. You know, weed out all them bullshit ass tricks. Get the real ones coming in. Mm. You know. Fuck that shit.
Have you ever thought about becoming like a YouTuber or anything like that?
I have, but I feel like I'm pretty boring.
No.
So I'm trust just me. Like, what would I talk about?
I know a lot of boring girls making YouTube videos. They're a lot more boring than you are.
I just wouldn't know what to talk about.
Yeah. Mm. But I mean, hey, this is your third interview, right?
Right.
I mean.
Right.
But I keep seeing you get better on camera. I felt like your first one I watched was pretty bad. And then the second one was better. And I feel like you're way better right now than any of them I saw. I was like, oh, she's like, she keeps getting better on camera.
Thank you.
It is a big step, though, to like set up the camera yourself in your room. But I mean, you can do it on your iPhone. Fucking sit there and talk on your phone, make 50 videos before you put one out.
I mean, I do have a YouTube channel already. I have one already. My manager, he has it like set up. I think it's called like Beautifully Scarred or something. That was supposed to be like a project. I wanted to do like this Jocelyn's Cabaret thing, but like I wanted all the girls to be like real hookers.
Mm.
Like real hookers, real bitches that have been down on the track, and to get them in the house and to like, you know, give them something special, you know, at the end for a little prize.
That could be cool.
But that was just an idea. I don't know. It didn't, I mean, I still have to work on it, obviously. It's just an idea.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have any big goals or like things that you want to accomplish over the course of, you know, the next few years? Or like what is it that you want to try to, I feel like you have to be trying to channel what you're doing now into something else. There has to be like a next step at a certain point, right?
Yeah. I'm basically just trying to like sell myself, like it's just in a different way now. Mm. Instead of like literally selling my body, I'm just going to be selling my...
Your thoughts, your personality.
My personality. Yeah. Fuck with me.
Definitely.
You know, and I'm really have a brand too. Mm. Like my 304 store, it's really like I have a part on the site where you can like... it's like an XXX version of the site.
Okay.
And I'm going to have people like, I'm going to have like girls with like package deals, like videos, pictures, like real hoes though. Because mm-hmm. everybody loves hoes.
I love that you feel such solidarity with your people.
Yes, real hoes. And they can make money. I mean, I'm going to make money. But they can make money, too, off of a bigger platform.
Right.
You know, have the chick go up there, pick which girl he wants. It's like a virtual crush.
Right.
You know, pick which one you want. And then I was going to have, like, clothes on there. Shit that just has to do with the game, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How's your sister doing?
Which one?
I don't know. Just in my notes, it says your sister
hoeing. My notes.
Your sister hoeing is one of the things I wrote down.
Oh, my sister hoeing. I actually haven't talked to that sister in a minute because she disrespected me and something that I stand on tally. Like, in this game. I take it really seriously because it's like literally who I am. It's not who I am, but it like is. Mm. Like, I don't know.
Like a lot of girls might come into an interview like this with kind of a victim mentality and acting like they had something wrong done to them and they're just trying to get out of it. It is kind of odd talking to you because you feel like you do have a sincere appreciation for it and kind of like the culture of it.
Right. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I've been raped in this game. I've almost died in this game. I've ran across terrible ass pimps in this game. I've ran across weird ass bitches in this game. But I wouldn't trade it in for anything. I wouldn't do anything different. It's a stepping stone. It's a chance for the people that just had a really fucked up life. Like, they just fucked it up. It's a chance, you know?
Right.
It's a chance to do something because it's money, you know? You can do shit with money.
Right.
But you just got to do the right thing.
But, you know, money is good, but life's all about enjoying your life at the end of the day.
And right.
That's just what I worry about with you is I want to make sure that there's a future that you can imagine in which you are happy and safe. And I think you need to, like, wrap your head around the fact that you deserve that at some point. And
of
that
course.
You feel like you love yourself?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're kind of looking around a little bit like you're not 100% sure.
I feel like I love other people around me more than I love myself. Sometimes I feel like sometimes I tell myself like I need to do this for this person or I need to do this for this person. I need to do this to keep this together. I feel like that's what keeps me going more because I don't know. I'm like a really low optimistic person naturally. Like,
pessimistic.
Pessimistic?
Pessimistic.
What does that mean?
Just not optimistic. The opposite of that, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay.
Just giving you the word so you got it on deck.
I'm not, yeah. Non-peptimistic.
Pess.
Pessimist. Okay, let's just not.
Yeah, all right. Not optimistic.
Let's just not.
Sorry.
But thank you.
Yeah.
I'm just not. And the people around me, they motivate me to do that. Like when I was alone, like a couple of months ago, I noticed like when I was more alone into myself, that's when I was like more into my drug mind state, like, you know, into my, what's that thing that they tell you in school? The I can't mind state.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Kinda.
You don't.
You gotta stay away from the drugs.
Yeah.
That's one thing I'm very concerned about because I get that you are not, you know, desperately trying to stop selling pussy, whatever. That's your choice.
I am. I wanna elevate. I really do. I want to like be way bigger than I am now.
Right.
You know? I wouldn't say that I wanna like, you know, but I accept it and I'm not gonna be like ashamed of what I do or make it seem like it's terrible or make other girls that do it feel bad about themselves because they could be living in rooms and shit right now. I'm not gonna make the bitch feel bad, you know?
No, I respect that 100%. I just want to make sure that, you know, I just feel like
I'm definitely done with the drugs. Yeah, you ain't gotta worry about that
because that's all bad.
I have no desire
good
to do that shit anymore.
Yeah, because that shit's all bad. Nobody ever ends up on the other end of that with a good story to tell.
I know that's right.
So what do you got planned after this? What's going on in your life?
Well, my mom, my real mom, actually, the one who had me when she was very young, she's here in L.A. with my baby sister. So I was going to go see them
and
after this.
You've seen her before or never?
I seen her like when I was growing up and then I got adopted and I actually, my grandpa saw me in Golden Corral and he was like, oh my God, you look like my daughter. Cause we do. We Whoa. Really do look alike.
That's how We're you like figured twins. It out?
Yeah. He was like, you look like her so much. You got to be my granddaughter. So I was like, okay, what's your daughter's name? And he told me and I was like, that's my mom's name.
That
and I found
trippy.
Her again when I was like 8.
Magic happens in the Golden Corral.
I know.
That's one thing I know.
The Golden Corral.
I like that I shouted out Hometown Buffet on this podcast as well. So now we're shouting out all the greatest buffet locations.
Right.
Yeah.
The Golden Corral blessed me that day.
So your mom knows everything that's going on, I'm assuming, with you?
My parents, I feel like I've told my parents like a long time ago, but I don't remind them.
Okay.
Yeah.
They might just not want to talk about it.
I feel like they definitely know, but they just, I don't know. I just try to.
That's probably how my parents feel about me doing porn. I just try not to bring it up.
I'm just going to act like I didn't hear that.
Now, clearly somebody needs to be ashamed here, and it's me. Thank you. Made me feel horrible about myself.
Oh, no, don't be ashamed.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
Nothing could ever hurt my feelings.
You don't really do porn, though, right?
Yeah, I do. Me and my girl.
You do?
Yeah. Not like doing it for fucking $200 a day. Are you fucking serious?
I'm fucking dead.
Yeah. Caught my girl's OnlyFans. I'm all over there.
Oh, so she's got an OnlyFans. Okay, that's better. Yeah. I thought you guys were like Pornhub. I was like, oh no, we did a scene on there for Pornhub. What?
Yeah.
Wow. But why? You make dough.
Good time. You know.
Okay.
You're not on Pornhub?
I can't.
One day.
I can't. I mean, I just can't. I can't have those videos of me up there forever.
Yeah.
I want to be like a conservative someday when I'm like really old.
I could be a conservative who has porn all over Pornhub.
I'm dead. Yeah. I mean, shit. You can't be a public figure. I mean, yeah, you can. Mia Khalifa and shit.
Yeah. She only did like 6 scenes.
She did?
Yeah. She ain't the real deal. Mm. It's all right, though.
She ain't the real deal. That's funny.
Tell us your OnlyFans and your Instagram again, because I want everybody to give you money and help you get your shit going.
My OnlyFans is just Royalty Supreme. Mm-hmm. And my Instagram is 304. I believe that it's like a 4 at the end.
Okay.
Like it's not 304. It's 300. And the number 4.
So 3,004?
No. 304.
Yep. 304 equals 304.
I'm confused.
Maybe we can put it on the screen. Laura, you want me in charge of this? Okay. I appreciate you telling us your story and
everything.
Thank
you. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
It was a great time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I hope you enjoyed the jacket.
Oh, I did. You can have this. I was sweating a little bit.
If it helped keep the titty in, then I think we're good.
It did, because it did slip out.
Yeah.
In the middle of this.
We might have to keep an eye out for that. Royalty, no jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, okay. Patreon on the screen. There's boobs on there. Like, comment, and subscribe. Nojumper.com if you want to support. We'll be on stream on Friday listening to your music. Cop her shit. Give her some bread. Okay.
Oh, I don't have any music. But
whoops. I mean, OnlyFans.
I have lots of things to look at.
Yeah. Appreciate you.
Oh, yay.